Okay. Okay, so let's, you guys, let's settle on this particular issue. Commissioner Day's point is related to this, but has a nexus with the broader 8160 issue, and so that's much more universal in its implications. Let's at least find out if there's four votes on the commission or not to take an action on this particular component of it, which right now, as I understand it, would be to take the criteria that the subcommittee developed and to direct staff to do some alchemy with that, and that before it goes to the board, it comes back to the commission to satisfy Commissioner Wood's request. Is that pretty much it?
Open hearing.
Okay. So is there a motion to that effect?
I would make that motion.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to do those things. Any further discussion?
What's the motion?
The motion is to direct staff to use those criteria to turn it into something implementable, and that it comes back to the commission before it goes to the board.
Essentially, we're voting whether or not we want to include an equity mechanism like this in our recommendations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, again, for me, it's just difficult to put one before the other. So it's a process. It's a timing issue. So I mean, I can give you specifics on a criteria that or what it should look like. And some of that I can agree with, and some of it I can't.
No, but Commissioner Day, I mean, and do whatever you're comfortable with, because I'm often in the position that you're in, and that is that this census is coming back to the commission. If it doesn't come back to the commission in a form that you think meets your standard, then you vote against it.
Like you said, you correctly read my mind. I'm anticipating where this is going, and staff can correct me, but if I understood you correctly, this is not going anywhere until after the general plan is adopted.
No. Based on the comments today, if your commission were to ask us to return with the necessary TDR or equity mechanism program and a draft ordinance before going back to the board, we would do so.
Okay, well, now that's not what I asked. And I don't mean to be, I'm not trying to be difficult, but I want to make sure I'm clear. As I heard you in other hearings say that, you know, and what I heard you just say right now, we can direct you to do something and you'll do it. But for legal or timing issues, a TDR program will not be part of the general plan update. Even if you do the work now that we direct you to do and you come back with a program, it won't be able to fit and be shoehorned into the general plan update. Is that correct or not?
Commissioner Day, through the chair, that's not correct. We believe that we can craft a program that fits into the general plan update. There's going to be constraints on that, and one of them is that it needs to be mandatory. Okay. But we believe that we can do that if you direct us to
that. That's definitely not what I heard, so I apologize. Then if that's the case, so we can have a TDR program that we've modified and tweaked and has been undergone all public review and legal analysis and be ready to be at the board in your timeline of November and December that will be implemented with the adoption of the general plan?
That's the plan.
Implementable.
So
there's a difference.
I'd love to have Mr. Linack come up real quick, because of all the people who've talked about TDRs, and there's quite a lot of them, I just want to make sure that I'm not missing a question, that this is the opportunity to ask staff.
Thank you, Commissioner Day. Through the chair, I respectfully would like to state and clarify that what staff is saying is that they can accomplish this, but it means that the downzoning of the general plan must be implemented mandatorily as it stands right now today. We cannot do a equity mechanism that restores a modest degree of density that can then be traded.
Well, that's my second point, which I was going to get to.
So it's
impossible.
The question is accurate, But it's unacceptable if it's the mandatory downzoning that's required.
Well, so I mean, again, going through these criteria, mandatory was one of the ones that I said I withheld judgment on for a good reason. But the other is the 8160. It again, to me, you can't get to it. We should have started with a TDR program, and then go to densities at that extreme. But because we're not there, I don't know how we can finagle it.
Well, Commissioner Woods has a point, and I think what we have to recognize is that we may not get a TDR program that satisfies you mm-hmm. and me, or you and another commissioner. So, Commissioner Woods.
All right, my point here is very fundamental to the whole process. To follow Mr. Lennox's suggestion will take 2 years. Mm-hmm. To follow your suggestion of getting rid of the 80s, I think they have to redo they have to recirculate to EIR.
Mm-hmm. Through the chair, Commissioner Woods, that's correct. We actually have some numbers in our staff report. We're estimating at least 2 years, probably more. We actually have to go back and rewrite the general plan and its principles. And we're looking at costs well in excess of $1.5 million for consultant fees and staff costs addition to that.
If I may continue, in the real world running, I'm not prepared to support a position by this commission that we add 2 years and $1.5 million to the process. And I think that the equity mechanism by definition is to deal with the down zoning issue and the equity associated with it. We can't correct all those down zoning issues and redo the entire land use map as a net result, and that's what they're suggesting.
Well, I would respectfully disagree, and okay. I asked Mr. Muto to run some numbers, and I'd asked at other meetings about existing designations of multiple rural use as it relates to just those lands that were proposed to go to 80, 40, and 20. If you just look at the lands that are recommended to go to 80, and we were able to work it into this program, I mean, just the 80, if you assumed that everything was developed at the extreme of 20 minimum of 20 acres, you're talking of less than 4,500 units. If you were to cut that in half, you're talking about 2,200 units just on those properties. That is what, 1% of the number of units we're talking about?
But Commissioner Day, it doesn't matter if it's how many there are. You still have to go through the process.
It doesn't mean it takes 2 years
in EIR and the amount of time and effort that it takes to do that.
I don't believe it takes that long, nor should it.
It is
1% of the total units we're talking about, or less than, in this context.
Well, let's see if we can at least get to the point where we can take a vote here and people can express their viewpoint in their vote. Right now, staff, I thought this was monumental commitment by staff to say that they could actually put a TDR program together developed on criteria such as those and actually have a draft ordinance for us to look at. And I'm kind of astounded that they're willing to make that commitment. And I want to acknowledge that it's not a small thing. And it doesn't get to where you want to get to, Commissioner Day, but I think that would be the action in front of us if somebody wants to make a motion, and then we can vote on the motion.
I already have.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I second.
Could you restate the motion?
I'm losing it. Okay. We have a motion and we have a second.
It was just
discussion.
To support the TDR program for staff to develop an ordinance and to bring it back to us before it goes to the board for a full hearing, which would allow all the stakeholders and us to weigh in and to vote on that recommendation.
Okay.
Discussion.
A statement. I will not support the general plan update if it doesn't include an equity mechanism or a TDR program. So,
right.
So you're saying that
It would go in concert with.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and we have a second. Further discussion?
I think you need to clear, Cheryl.
Please vote. That motion passes 6-1. Commissioner Reese opposing?
Gentlemen, I have seen TDRs.
Oh, that's
work.
Okay. We'll
it
take your notebook.
It just
okay.
Doesn't work.
No, I was just, I almost automatically said Commissioner Day opposing, but then I caught myself.
They did sit over there one time.
Okay. So I, again, still have some issues. Do we have any other big policy things we need to discuss?
Mr. Chair, that there was a comment about a road element as well.
Road 3 in Valley Center?
Some clarification on that?
That's part of the staff.
No, I actually had that as an unresolved issue on my list, too. So Road 3, could we figure out what's going on there?
Mr. Chairman? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman? Now, this board letter that we had, minute order number 23, dealt with Road 3. 3A, regarding Valley Center, remove the Road 3A SPA from the general plan update?
They left the road.
Can we put it back in?
Let staff tell us what this all means.
Okay, I would just clarify that the board motion at that time said to take the Road 3A specific plan amendment out of the general plan update, not the road, but not specifically road. Told us to leave the road in for analysis purposes.
Okay. So the board has specifically zeroed in on this issue and asked that it be kept in for analytical purposes. Please don't.
That is correct.
I just want to underscore, we're talking about a road here. We're not talking about a specific plan. We're talking about the Road 3A.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That is correct, Chairman Beck. The segment runs between West Lilac and Old Highway 395 and Valley Center. And, well, if you can pull it up that way. We're going to try to pull it up. And I think they also had it in their presentation.
Yeah, the recommendation.
Yeah, pull it up in the Valley Center presentation. Well, that segment 3 there. This was added as part of our road network planning for the project, and we were looking for some alternative routes and additional routes to the I-15 coming out of Valley Center. We did show a failing road segment on West Lilac up here. And so this additional segment was added to offset some of that capacity issues that we had on the number 2 over here, as well as providing more of a through connection for this road that was coming out of, this was the Rancho Lilac specific planning area. And as you can see, this entire Road 3 is a new east-west connector that we're planning that goes all the way from Colgrade and extends all the way over to I-15.
You know, Commissioner Woods has been, and other commissioners have been raising this issue about the whole road system and LOS and safety and everything else in Valley Center, and it's in my mind anyway, it's become less clear over the months of discussion on this thing. With respect to Road 3A, the planning group is asking for, or is it 3, or whatever it is, are they asking for the entire segment to be removed, or just portion of it, or what?
Commissioner Beck, it's just this last segment right here that extends from West Lilac to Old Highway 395.
And the Board of Supervisors has previously acted on this specific segment, this little piece of it?
The board asked us to evaluate it as part of the environmental impact report. That was the only direction we received. There was more specific direction with regards to the land uses that were around it. And at one time, we were directed to provide a specific plan area that could potentially fund this segment by providing a development in that area. We had added that into the map, and then when we went back to the board, they asked us to remove it. And so it's been removed from the project altogether.
Okay. And the rest of Road 3 presently doesn't exist, or is it a road that needs to be improved?
Basically, all of it does not exist. There are a few areas where there's, especially over on this eastern end, where there's some existing roads that it would connect to.
And if the big projects out there like Rancho Lilac don't happen, then what is the funding source for this road?
Well, ultimately, it would be through TIF or other funding sources. We rely highly on development to construct roads and at a minimum to preserve right-of-way as they develop. And then we look for other funding sources to provide them as necessary.
Wow. Okay.
Does that right-of-way exist right now, or do we have to acquire it?
No, there is not right away there because it was not on the circulation element in the past.
Do we have the ability to kind of, for lack of a better term, it's not an engineering term, but buff out segment two to the north, or road element two?
Through the chair, Commissioner Norby, that segment of West Lilac is highly constrained. So it's going to be difficult to resolve the issues that are in there.
Okay.
Highly unlikely.
Okay. Is there any other questions on this road?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, if I can, I'll go through some additional points. I think these are maybe a little quicker and easier. Would you clarify that the amount of avoided land that is the product of the conservation subdivision is the minimum, or is that a maximum, or is that a, what is it?
Chairman Beck, that's a minimum.
Okay.
It's a minimum requirement that you must achieve that avoidance percentage.
Okay. There was we got some comments on the groundwater-dependent areas and whether the language would be to discourage or to prohibit something along those lines. Would you clarify that for me? And I'd really like to understand this because I think, and maybe you could explain or refresh my memory at least on what we're doing with Borrego. I thought we established a threshold at some point in time, and that threshold required that we maintain the aquifer at some certain level so there wasn't a continuation of the mining that had been going on over the decades. So I thought we had done that, and in order to do that, there was a system that required purchasing ag lands or something like that to offset the water use in Borrego. And so now I'm wondering more broadly with the groundwater ordinance whether we are going to be prohibiting water mining or just discouraging it.
Chairman Beck, our policy with Borrego has essentially been to not contribute to the overdraft situation in Borrego when new development comes in. So they're required to, at a minimum, offset their water use. In most cases, however, due to the requirements that the county has been implying on them and also that the Borrego Water District enforces, they're actually starting to resolve some of the issues. But because there is uncontrolled water use out there, it's not going to be completely addressed until a more comprehensive solution can be developed for that region. And we've been interacting closely with the Borrego Water District. They do have a lot of plans for looking at alternatives for their water supply. They also are looking at conversion of their agricultural lands, and we've been working closely with them to see if there are ways that we can help them in taking that agricultural land that's in Borrego out of production so that it's not drawing down the aquifer as much.
Okay, well, that's helpful on the Borrego side of it. And this policy, 8.3, groundwater-dependent habitat, it says discourage development that would significantly draw down the groundwater table to the detriment of groundwater-dependent habitat, except in the Borrego Valley, given the point you just meant. And that was actually a change from a previous iteration that said prohibit rather than to discourage. And it seems to me that you've got two qualifiers in there that are completely subjective, discourage and significantly, and and detriment, okay. So I don't see that this is going to produce anything quantifiable. I don't think it's going to direct a land use decision, I guess, is my concern. And the suggestion here is to reinstate the term prohibit instead of discourage. What's your response to that?
Prohibit is an absolute. This is an area that because there is basically so much of the county that is affected by groundwater, and essentially in any groundwater basin, you're going to have groundwater-dependent habitat. We felt that by having prohibit, even with the additional word of significant, and we've used that currently within our process, we look at a 3-foot drawdown to be a significant impact. But even with that as a kind of a threshold that's applied, We felt that if we had prohibit, we may be getting into situations that were not basically predicting, able to predict at this point, that would be overly restrictive. And we wanted to provide ourselves a little bit more flexibility and provide that when individual projects come through and they run that groundwater analysis, which they're all required to do, that we can have a little bit more flexibility when looking at their groundwater use and the potential impacts.
You know, the bigger picture concern for those groundwater-dependent areas is that decisions will be made over time and have been made in the past and will continue to be made over time, and that if the trend is down with regard to available water and groundwater recharge, which is the trend, that at some point in time, the people that are groundwater-dependent will be trapped. They will be in an area where they can no longer access the water that they previously did because we just kept pushing and pushing. And if the climatic conditions continue in the direction they're going, at some point we could have a situation where we have many, many people out in groundwater-dependent areas without groundwater. And I actually lived on a property for 3 years that got 1 gallon per minute, and it gets pretty shaky in that kind of situation. So, I mean, you got your pumping all the
is
time.
Is that when you grew a beard?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. So I'm not comfortable with what I'm sensing this policy to be. I just don't know that we're going to be strong enough to ever say no, and that we'll continue to incrementally box ourselves in this bad situation. Is there any possibility of having language or even a process that would ensure that we're not depleting existing groundwater resources?
I think the answer to that is yes, and the answer is that we have for a number of years done that. And what keeps us from getting to a situation where we overdraft the groundwater of the groundwater-dependent areas of the county is our county groundwater ordinance. And as a matter of fact, with the general plan update, we did a comprehensive groundwater analysis to show those basins that were at or near their development capacity. And then changes were made in the general plan update that's before you today to accommodate where we do have those restrictions.
So the densities are reflective of the groundwater ordinance in those groundwater-dependent areas?
They are.
In part?
In part, yes.
Okay.
Commissioner?
Sure.
Water is so, it's you know, climate change is, can happen over 10 years, 25 years, 50 years, 100 years. But water is, we'll have a couple of drought years and we'll have a couple of rainy years. And I mean, it can really have a large pendulum swing. And I'm wondering if this issue couldn't be something that we could bring up in our annual review of the general plan, where we just kind of put water on the ticker every year, take a look at it. So if we find ourselves in a prolonged drought, or if we find ourselves in a climate change situation that is accelerating, in short term, not over thousands of years, that we can then add more forceful language into it at that point in time.
Okay, that sounds fair enough, except I don't know that we've ever had an annual general plan review,
but I think it's a good idea.
And Chairman Beck, it is included in our implementation plan, so we are planning on instituting that after the general plan update.
Right where it should be.
So it's a perpetual gig we got here with the general plan. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Job security.
No. Okay, I'm done with my questions. Do we have others?
Just one. What about the, did we satisfy the letter from ex-commissioner?
Yes, I asked those questions about the firefighting Manning. And
so John asked that question. That satisfied everyone on that?
Mm-hmm.
That we, from council's perspective, the argument that Mr. Edwards brought up, you don't think is exposure for the process?
Through the chair, Commissioner Woods, I believe we've addressed the issues in our EIR adequately.
Okay.
Good. Mr. Chair, I have one more comment.
Yes.
And it's just I need to, before I vote on these motions, I need to make sure I have a clear mind and all the issues have been clear for me. And I want to back up Adam a little bit, Commissioner Day, as well as a previous comment that I had on the Merriam Mountain project or the request from the Merriam Mountain. We have been upzoning properties throughout this whole process. And today we took one, the one near Encinitas in the Encinitas, area, and took it to SR2. I don't believe that's been on any of the maps that we've had prior. And we've done that, and we haven't gotten the staff direction that that requires. We can't do that because it's going to require that we go out for a new DEIR, new EIR. But then when we want to do something, if there's a request, a gentleman comes up and requests that this is existing estate residential, and we'd like to leave that to estate residential, we get the comment from staff that, oh, we have to be careful because that's going to throw the whole thing into an EIR process. So, and then Commissioner Day had a request, some of which I can support, the 160, but the 80 I can't, that let's look at changing these. And we get the same response that, it's going to take a couple years, it requires a whole EIR process. So that is an issue for me that's not clear in my mind why sometimes we get that response from staff and sometimes we don't, because we are upzoning certain properties that are not on any of the maps. So I just, before I vote, I want to make sure I'm clear on that.
Okay.
Sure. Commissioner Norby, through the chair. Whenever we are asked to make a change to the map at this time, we look specifically at that and what the potential implications could be to our environmental analysis within the EIR. With regards to the Perkins property, it's an isolated parcel. We had already evaluated at SR4. The change to SR2 is not, substantial. And if you look at the surrounding area, it has very little effect on the surrounding area as well because it was adjacent to the city's plans. So with regards to that respect, we did not feel that that was going to be a major issue with the environmental document. That said, we still have to go do work. We're going to have to go and revise our analysis and include in the record for the board to be able to approve that documentation that just justifies what I just said. So whenever you make these changes, there's a lot of work that goes into it. The ones that we've said we have a concern about that are the ones that are more substantial, and we feel we're likely to require us to actually go back and have to recirculate the EIR because it would be identifying some new major issues out of them.
Okay, and then with respect to just the 160s, if we remove those and changed them to 80s, you feel that would be substantial?
Actually, no. The proposal that's on the table today, the Planning Commission recommendation, has no 160s in it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Woods.
Yeah, I'd like to put a motion on the floor that we adopt staff recommendations. And help me craft this, Devin. Basically, for the mobility, housing, conservation, open space, safety, amendments to the land use map, amendments to the circulation element, comprehensive updates for the planning groups that are at the proper timing in their amendment in their general plan updates, and recommend that the Board of Supervisors adopt a general plan update implementation plan released by released January 109.
And certify a consideration of environmental impact report.
But then, in addition, that the TDR program be developed into an ordinance that would come back before this commission before it goes to the board.
Commissioner Woods, through the chair, you've made the motion you made the vote actually on the TDR program, and so I think we have clear direction there. I think that all you really need to do, assuming that you're supporting staff's recommendation, is to indicate that you're supporting staff's recommendation as reflected in the.
What about the errata sheet?
The errata sheet is an errata to the planning report, so it's part of it, and
don't need to identify it.
Yeah, but I don't think we've.
The motion would be to
identify that right now.
Adopt staff recommendation.
As reflected in the staff report.
As reflected in the staff report.
And I would, Commissioner Woods, I would say, with the exception of those specific earlier changes that you made on specific land use items that were brought up today.
Our recommendations and discussions today.
And it's understood that the desire of the Planning Commission is to have the TDR as part of the recommendation to the
Board. And that they would go in concert to the board as a complete package, and that as the motion indicated before relative to those TDRs, that they come back here as a full-fledged ordinance.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Woods, we heard that loud and clear and understood that as part of the previous motion that you voted on and approved.
Good.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
A second.
Second from Commissioner Norby. Discussion?
Just congratulations to all the planning groups, and my sincere congratulations and thanks for staff for working through this. It's not an easy job, and your professional abilities are greatly appreciated.
Well, if we're going to start saying things like that, I can go back to when did we start the steering committee, Devin?
No, we don't have to. I think that was actually well spoken, comprehensive. Cover. We all feel the same way.
Call okay. For the question, yeah.
All right.
Commissioner Day?
Well, and I will echo again compliments to staff, and hopefully nothing I've said has been taken personally. I will vote against this motion for two reasons. First, process-wise, again, you're not going to the board till the end of this year. We've got 8 months. I don't see why the rush to have us give a final recommendation. I still have not reviewed all of the comments or the response to comments. Second reason, because I cannot support 80s or 160s. And third reason, I don't see the TDR program before us today. So for those reasons, I have to vote no.
Understood. Okay. Please.
We're all done.
Waiting on you.
Cheryl, can you? Okay, there it goes. The motion to support staff recommendation after all these years on the general plan update from the Planning Commission passes 6-1 with Commissioner Day voting against for the reasons that he stated. Okay, congratulations, we're done. Anything else to clean up?
Let's get out of here. Beer colonies.
April 14th. Mr. Chairman, no, there's nothing here pressing that we can't deal with next time, so okay. We can conclude.
That's it. We be adjoined. Yeah.
Well done, Mr. Chairman, today. Well done.
Great,
great. Good job, Michael.
Wow. Good job, all.
I should have said something.
No, you know. We'll say something for the record when we get to TDR. Take care.